It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out.
We'll get to what happened in the NBA last night. A real big difference, other than the Cavs Raptors, all the game was. You had competitive games and you had road teams getting it done. The Wolves-Nuggets rivalry. Partly because it's never been in a Western Conference final. Neither one has been to, well, the Nuggets have, but neither one has been the obstacle to directly keep the other from a finals appearance because they've never met in the biggest stage in the Western Conference. It's kind of gone under the radar.
Yeah, they're not like premier franchises.
Yeah, and also, despite having Jokic.
Two top 5, 10 players.
Multiple-time MVP, but not a giant personality, and then you have one of the bigger personalities in sports.
Yeah.
It's just that he does it in a way where the NBA is like, yeah, could you not? I mean, hey.
The Gatorade thing's cool.
Yeah, Ant, you went up there and you blocked. Like some reporters ask him about his defensive prowess around the rim. He goes, yeah, Dwayne Wade used to beat that bleep, like beat the hell out of him. So that's what I was doing. I was watching his highlights. Like Adam Silver's like, God. No.
We respect the authenticity. It's like,
I don't mind it, but as far as how the NBA wants to market things, it's not exactly what they're looking for.
For Adam Silver, it's when keeping it real goes wrong. It's he's keeping it real.
Like all the Jordans, son of Jordans meme, that'd be great if he just was more like Michael at a microphone.
Yeah.
He's not like Michael. He's more like Michael's son who does the coke. the one who actually was accused of doing that. If he could be less like Michael's...
Strictly on the microphone.
Yes,
that's what he
yes,
was.
Exactly. If he could be less like Michael's actual son and more like Michael, we may have something here. But instead, he's going to be on the fringes of things, and yet he's a great player. And he'll tell you, yeah, I went 10 for 25. Man, I sucked. And that wasn't the words he used. But he is Anthony Edwards, and his team is tied 1-1. We'll get to one of his guys in a little bit. But first, let's get to Alex. He wants to talk about Josh Okogie. What's up, Alex?
What's up, guys? So the other night I'm watching the game, and I'm watching Josh Okogie defend LeBron James. And LeBron just straight up puts his hands in Josh's face, just starts shoving him in the face, kind of slapping him around. And Josh does absolutely nothing to react to it. Like, he just kind of takes it. Number one, I hate LeBron. I genuinely hate LeBron, not just because he's great. He's a slimy person. I don't like him. He code switches. He's fake. And also, like, the whole Diddy thing, I don't like that. But, like, listen, Josh Okogie, this is directly directed to you. If you let LeBron put his hands on you like that, next time I see you at the gas station, I'm going to punk you. Straight up.
Wow.
Don't ever let him embarrass you like that on national TV. If he puts his hands in your face like that, you slap the piss out of him. You slap him. And whenever they do the replay, they'll see that he was putting his hands on you and everybody's face. But don't ever let him disrespect you like that again. I'm out.
Rack him.
So Josh Okogie.
Josh Okogie, ask yourself, what would Dylan Brooks do?
Well, Dylan Brooks got bitched by LeBron a couple years ago. That's why he's no longer
but
Grizzly.
But he went out swinging.
He hit from the media swinging. Same thing, I guess.
Swinging at LeBron. Tim McMahon?
Got it.
Tim McMahon?
Yeah,
don't want any
want
part
no
of Tim
piece
McMahon.
Of Tim McMahon, but LeBron he'll swing at.
Tim Bontemps? No thanks.
So, our caller, thanks for the call.
Yeah. Alex?
Alex?
Great call. Love the energy.
I appreciate it. I don't know where you see Josh Okogie at the gas station. Maybe that's just, hey, if you ever do see him, you're going to.
Yeah.
You know, Josh Okogie is 6'4", 200 plus pounds. I don't know how big you are, Alex.
I know
in comparison to LeBron, he looks like a small guy. He's not a small individual.
Yeah, I'll say Alex probably not built like LeBron.
No, he's not 6'9", 245, 250, or whatever LeBron is today.
I've never seen him.
Same here. I don't know how big Alex is.
But
I don't
Okogie's
know.
More of a realistic potential
Okogie's,
body type.
Okogie's just like a normal big human being. LeBron, if you
is
up next to him, is like
superhuman.
Superhuman, yes. So perhaps Alex could handle him. I just don't know how that interaction would go at the gas station. Like, hey, I saw you on TV getting punked by LeBron. Now pay for my gas? Are you going to punk a Kogan to pay? Well, and gas is very expensive,
yeah,
but he can afford
yeah.
it.
Supreme.
Yeah, yeah. And not just regular. Supreme. And give me that car wash, too. And the additives. And I want them additives. A Kogi. I don't know if it'd go your way, Alex. I'm just saying.
I don't know. I don't know. LeBron got away with it.
You don't want... Well, sure, he did. I don't know the incident he's talking about, but I'll trust him that it happened.
And yeah.
We're all built differently. But if Alex... What, if it happens again, I hope you... Nah, actually, you know what? I don't want a confrontation between Alex, the caller.
I hope it's
Josh
after
Okogie.
The season.
Yes. Is Okogie on a one-year deal?
Yes, he is.
Okay, then if after the season, do what you want. No violence, though.
I will say, you know, Alex's chances of, A, running into Josh Okogie, B, punking him IRL aside, putting that aside, which is the conversation I want to have, but I will put that aside.
Why do you want to put it aside, Sean?
Just because I do think it does. I mean, I joked about Dylan Brooks, but there is a little bit of, like, it goes back to kind of what I said, where it didn't feel like they had the verve. It didn't feel like they had the crash out, you know, willing to crash out.
Yeah.
In game one, it felt very much like a feel out game one, which I don't think especially this Rockets team, like the guys on the court on Saturday, I don't think they've earned the right to, like, hey, we'll see what they got in game one. We might just roll in there and smoke them anyway. It's like, okay. I really am wanting a, you know. I mean, I thought Amin Thompson actually played with requisite energy.
Sure.
But I would like a 10 on that scale.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
I would like some coming out swinging, not literally, but coming out, you know, with more intensity. And for Alperen Şengün just like.
To make a couple bunnies?
Yeah. Like, just, dude,
don't
lock
get out.
In.
Look, we said it last week. Don't get outplayed by DeAndre Ayton. That is your...
Yeah,
you
and got, he did.
You
he did.
Yes, you have more responsibilities than that, but your baseline is not to allow the guy with oven mitts for hands to outplay you. And it's
yeah.
not my assessment. It's his own coach's assessment. He cannot outplay you in this series. And right now, he's up 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot happen again.
Yeah.
That's the standard.
Like, even with all the things, all the troubles that we had game one, or all the issues we had with the game one offense, it is kind of just a failure of Alperen Şengün.
Make your look. He's
like
a,
you're the number one. You're the team's best player last or Saturday night. You have to have a better showing than that.
He is not very, let's say, vertically inclined around the rim, so it's going to be
wow.
tough for him to elevate.
That was political. That was a very delicate way of putting that.
He did
have a block.
What
he
I'm saying is, despite all the some of the ferocious dunks he has mm-hmm. over 6'4" guys in the lane,
yeah.
when he's near the rim and he's trying to elevate over big guys, there's a problem. That's why you see all those awkward hooks go up and awkward layups
yeah.
because he doesn't elevate very much. Just part of
he
part
can't
of,
put it on your head.
Yeah, he is not a guy who's going to consistently be able to elevate over bigs. And DeAndre Ayton, for all his faults, is an athletic big. He's a yeah. very big man. Maybe Alex will challenge him at some point, too. But he's a very big man who is going to be tough to get shots over, and that's why you see the awkwardness of Alperen Şengün. And if he can't deliver that elbow in the ribs to move you aside to get a shot up,
yeah.
it's going to be tough times for him. So I get some of the misses. But I'm going to need you to draw some contact, get to the foul line, something.
It's still DeAndre freaking Ayton.
Something. Like, other guys have found ways.
Yeah, you're an all-star.
Look, if DeAndre Ayton turns back into the guy that people always thought or wanted him to be, then that's bad timing. But
yeah.
but that's on you for allowing it to happen.
And I was going to say credit to Şengün. Some of it's the opposite of credit to Jaxson Hayes. But when Jaxson Hayes was on Şengün, like, Şengün actually did go after him.
Oh, well. Okay.
And Jaxson Hayes was the dumbest man possible jumping for those pump fakes.
Yeah.
But he did, like, make him pay for putting Hayes on him in the ways that you have to do it, which is allowing Jaxson Hayes to make mistakes and profiting off that on offense. Like, DeAndre Ayton's better than Jaxson Hayes, but it's not like.
But Jaxson Hayes.
He's not Dennis Rodman.
Jaxson Hayes is the epitome of, well, he's tall and he can move, so he has a job.
Yeah.
Like, that's where
he is. He's a tall athlete.
That's where he is as far as why he can still play in the playoffs.
Gen Z Stromile Swift?
He wishes.
Man.
He wishes.
Tyrus Thomas?
Not even.
Tyrus Thomas without a bag? Tyrus Thomas didn't really have a bag.
Tyrus Thomas was recently interviewed. You know, Tyrus Thomas with LSU, got drafted by the Bulls. It just so happened that...
Trade for LaMarcus Aldridge? Didn't work out?
No, he was never going to go to LSU, except that because I forgot how it went. Like, maybe they didn't offer him as soon as he wanted. He was actually going to go to Miami, but Miami's coach got fired because Perry Clark wasn't great at Miami. So his fallback option was LSU, because when he went there, he was talking about it how it wasn't really a great place for people, unless you know, for black athletes, at least for black people, unless you played sports there. So he wasn't going to go. He might have gone to another school in Louisiana, but it came down to it where Miami fired their coach. He needed a place to go, and he wound up at LSU and turned himself into a first rounder. So sliding doors.
Yeah, he was the fourth pick of the draft.
Yeah.
And was traded for LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, and he was not going to be an LSU Tiger if a coach didn't get fired at another school. We will now, well, we'll do it when we come back. Jaden McDaniels.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of guys who got the verb.
That's what it looks like.
Speaking of a guy who has the verb, he had word for the entire Nuggets team after the Wolves game 2 win. He would not let LeBron punk him. Even though I don't remember seeing what Alex is talking about, let's take him at his word. Josh Okogie, don't let it happen again, or you'll have to deal with Alex in Houston at the local gas station.
On site.
I would advise Alex, probably don't. Probably leave it alone. But I'm glad you're excited and want your team to respond to the...
We need that. We need that intensity.
To any physicality that the Lakers throw their way.
Get game 3 tickets, please. We need you in the crowd.
What would be the more likely sign? I hate you, LeBron, or something disparaging to Josh Okogie?
Number two,
depending on what happens tonight. So we'll hear from Jaden McDaniels. He had disparaging words for all the Nuggets. The Wolves tied at 1 with the Nuggets. We'll do that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
We had a very competitive game. Big comeback from the Wolves last night. They're down big. Big comebacks. The Hawks and the Wolves come back in their games to win on the road. Tie their series at 2. So we got that going on. So, as I mentioned before, a big difference between the game 1 outcomes in game 2. Were the Rockets the only team who stayed within single digits? Who else?
I forgot. What Magic Pistons?
I think they wound up still beating them by double digits.
Yeah,
the Pistons tried to make a run, but I think it still wound up being a double.
Because that one was closer. And
yeah, than the others. But we've had blowouts throughout, and then finally we got a couple good games
even
last night.
Nuggets, Wolves,
the
game
first one.
Was...
Yeah, then it just got extended late as the game got away from the Wolves. Well, no such luck for the Nuggets last night, and maybe we found out why. Jaden McDaniels, their swingman, has been and very important for them, particularly with Nikhil Alexander-Walker going to the Hawks. They had a couple guys like that were kind of duplicates of each other. Now they've got the one. And so he has grown it in importance for the Wolves. And here's what he had to say after last night's win over the Nuggets.
Go out to Jokic, Jamal, all the bad defenders, Tim Hardaway, Cam Johnson, Aaron Gordon, the whole team. Like, just go at them.
They're all bad defenders.
So
just to consider that. Feels like you guys constantly
back. Yeah, just they don't got people that could defend the rim, and if he is there, we still more athletic than them, and just got to be able to finish when we do.
Is there a discipline involved in just staying in that attack mode?
Yeah, you gotta. Works. Yeah, just sometimes you gotta know when to attack and when the right moments, and just. If it's your time to shoot it or pass it, but either way, if you just break the paint, you're going to have a shot or someone else is going to be open.
Jaden McDaniels, after last night's win, gotta say, I love it.
I was rolling with him until Aaron Gordon. I was like, all right.
Aaron Gordon's a pretty good defender.
Yeah,
but
I guess he's
but
beat
don't
up.
Leave anyone out.
Yeah,
don't
like
leave anyone
cobbled.
Out at this point. When you have, now, he didn't have a particularly big night. He was fine. He had 14 points, 15 shots, so not efficient, but good enough. Ant didn't shoot the ball well. You had good nights from DiVincenzo and Randle as well, and you get the win. And they don't like each other. Jaden McDaniels shoved Jokic. I think it was precipitated by Jokic kind of slapping at him on when he was going after an offensive rebound. I don't know if he hit him in the face, but he came close. He didn't like the actions Jokic was taking to try to get the ball. So once he made his shot after the offensive rebound, and he just put two hands in Jokic's back. We had Ant and Jokic get into a confrontation because no one likes when someone else tries to take the ball away from them. No, of all the things that upsets NBA players that seem like it shouldn't be a big deal,
that's the number one pick.
Don't take the ball away from me during a break and play. If the ref asks for it, I'll give it to him. But you trying to hustle to get the ball in bounds, don't do it.
Yeah,
it's you're testing my manhood a little bit, so don't try it.
Yeah, that is the number one. That's the number one like way to start a confrontation that like you don't. That's surprising. That isn't like punching someone in the face or you know mushing them like the Diabate Duran. Incident from like February. It's like that one's like we get why that immediately starts a fight. This is a underrated NBA thing that's like this is only in the NBA where this always starts like it's, maybe not a fight, but they had to be separated.
It's an offshoot of the tie up when no one wants to let go of the ball.
Yeah.
It is in that mode as well. But this one is the guy has full possession. They've lost possession. He has at least full possession of the ball, but the ball is going the other way.
Yeah. And he got called for a travel or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. And then a guy wants to get the ball in, and everyone knows if you try it, you're starting something. Because particularly with Ant, Ant's not just going to let you take the ball away from him, not in a moment when he's complaining about something.
And something about this series that I didn't know. Obviously, this is it the third time in 4 years
that they're playing? I
believe so. In the last, since then, they're including regular season games. The season series now is 15-15.
They evened it up last night.
Last 30 games, it's 15-15. So, yeah, it is something that's it's a super underrated, great playoff matchup. And that's why you get Jaden McDaniels talking like this after game two. You know, this is normally you're up 3-2 and you start letting it pop off a little, or after you've already beaten them to, you know, hey, we just go after all the bums they have. And in case you're wondering who I'm talking about.
All of them are bums.
I'll say their government names.
Yeah, all of them are bums. And the question would be, if you are a alleged bum that wasn't mentioned, how do you feel? Like if you're Christian Brown, wait a minute. Does he think I'm a good defender, or does he not?
I'm so.
Do I not register on his radar, so he doesn't even mention my name?
Did he say Christian Brown?
He did not say Brown.
Okay, he said Bruce. Brown.
He didn't. Did he say? I don't know. Got the Bruce. I don't think he mentioned. He mentioned Gordon, Murray, Jokic, Hardaway Jr.
Oh, that's right.
And there might have been one other guy, but he didn't get
Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson, yeah. Cam Johnson at times in his career known as a pretty good defender. I don't know that maybe Jaden McDaniels has noticed a drop off.
Yeah,
it could have been any nugget who caught it.
Yeah.
Adelman, terrible defender. Wait, the coach? Yeah, he can't stay in front of me either.
You saw him out there?
He can't stay in front of me. Yeah, all those guys.
5 foot 10.
This is my question. Peyton Watson, maybe he didn't play, so maybe he would have not thrown some shade his way. But yeah, if you don't know, now you know. All the nuggets you see, that championship contender, they suck on defense.
Yeah.
And Jaden McDaniels wants you to know about it.
I think I would take it as a compliment. Because he's pretty.
If he didn't mention you.
Yeah.
So you think...
Because he's pretty on point. It's not like he was just naming everybody.
Aaron Gordon one is naming everybody.
Aaron
you're just throwing it out there to be insulted.
That's the one he just I don't like Aaron Gordon, so I'm going to
toss him out there.
Yeah.
So if you're Christian Brown, you think, he thinks I'm a good defender.
If I'm Christian Brown, that's how I take it. I have to take any positive affirmation I can get. I just saw out of context people posting his contract numbers after this game, being the window's closed. And it's just Christian Brown's contract. This is why the Nuggets will not win a championship.
Well, they thought they got a deal because they traded away Michael Porter Jr. Shout out to you for thinking about him so much when he called in a couple weeks ago now. They traded Michael Porter Jr. and got Cam Johnson. They felt like, hey, we got rid of him, who's less of a fit for what we want. Thank you for helping us win a title, but you're always injured, so we got our guy.
Yeah.
And Cam Johnson struggled early, picked it up late as they started to win more games later in the year. I don't know that Christian Brown's the reason why the window might be closed. It may just be...
The contract is pretty tough for
it's
the guy who's your fifth or sixth best player.
Yeah, it's hard to move.
That's just, it's
hard to move.
It's tough.
But if you can get rid of Michael Porter Jr., you could move Christian Brown if it comes down to it. But you'd rather have not be in that position.
Yeah, you'd rather that guy be like a huge contributor. You know, you'd rather that be Alex Caruso, you know, not to compare him to another.
No, you did it.
I mean.
You did it.
He's on the other contender, you know.
And he missed a couple free throws, too, late in that game, which is tough. That's tough.
It's just it's tough. But yeah, because of that, I'm like, at least Jaden McDaniels thinks I'm good.
I think I'm going to go the opposite way. I believe he doesn't even register on McDaniels' radar, so he didn't mention him. He wasn't bad last night, but he did miss a free throw. He did miss those.
He did miss those. He played 35 minutes. He didn't forget about me. I'm now just doing the show as Christian Brown.
That's fine. You can stay in that role. Now
I had 16 points.
We'll treat this like a soap opera. Now the Christian Brown role is Sean Mapes. You can do that.
If I'm Spencer Jones, I take offense. He did not. Spencer Jones did not. I don't know if he knows his name.
I am telling you. If a reporter wanted to be funny and go, what about Christian Brown? He'd be like, oh, he's bad too. I just didn't want to mention him. That would have been the response. Everyone was getting the smoke. Everyone.
You can't ask that question. You can't be like, so you want to attack those guys, but if it's like Christian Brown, like you're not
he
as.
He was not in the mode where he was, no, that guy would never want to switch on. He would never respond with, actually, him, I don't want him switching on to me. It would be everyone's catching it.
Thanks for the assist, Windhorse. No, he sucks too.
Yeah, I just didn't want to mention him because he doesn't rise to the level of mention. But now that you bring him up, I get buckets on him too.
Yeah.
So we have that series. We got CJ McCollum in New York now. He's the villain because apparently Hawks, Knicks, someone's got to be the villain.
Have some pride, Knicks fans.
Yeah, come on. Is he still the president of the NBAPA? Is that McCollum's job still, or is that
maybe?
But
he was the
way.
last CBA. CBA.
So. But either way, what are we doing? Knicks
you can't let CJ McCollum just play the role of Trae Young. At least Trae Young.
Trae Young leaned into it, and he has all the vibes of someone you are. He's born to be hated in that environment. CJ McCollum, other than calling your lead actor a theater actor. What else? What did he do? And honestly, Jalen Brunson does flop. Now, if you don't know the circumstance, Jalen Brunson reacted
he wasn't flopping that.
In a way. Yeah. Reacted in a way to CJ McCollum hitting him in a region that no man wants to get hit.
Fadeaway jump shot, leg got a little high.
Yeah, and it resulted in a review, and then it went the Knicks' favor, right?
Yeah.
And CJ McCollum's response to that after game one was, well, he's acting over there. And Knicks fans needed a villain, and now they got one in CJ McCollum, of all guys, the least likely person to be a villain ever. He said,
"Send him packing."
He was like,
night.
"You know, I'm a family man. I got kids. I'm not really a villain. I'm a good guy." Like he was very Stephon Diggs. I'm a good guy. I'm a great guy. You don't want me to do this, sister? No, Stephon. No. And the Minnesota Vikings continue to be proven right every offseason. every time you ask that question, we have examples of why they were right on that, but. That was a 1-point game. McCollum didn't he did miss two free throws late.
Yes,
that would have given them a 3-point lead.
I mean, it would have been. It's up there with, I don't know. I guess George Hill's team still lost, but J.R. Smith dribbling out the clock lit George Hill off the hook because he missed two free throws.
He missed two big free throws. Yeah.
Same thing with like CJ McCollum missed two free throws. Like the I don't know if the moment got to him or just. Unfortunate, he missed two free throws, and Mikal Bridges had a chance to win. Fortunately for CJ McCollum, it was Mikal Bridges with a chance to win. So he kind of dribbled to nowhere and took a shot.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges, a hero of last year's playoffs against the Celtics, where he had big moments.
Yep.
Could not duplicate that against the Hawks. So that series is tied at 107-106. The Hawks had a big fourth quarter, outscored the Knicks by 13 to win it, and were able to overcome the CJ McCollum missed free throws to win it. So the East has a series tied at 1. The West does as well, and we hope to add to that list tonight. Late night, Rockets and Lakers. When we come back, staying with the Rockets, we'll get some more sound. This time's from Shams, because while we did see Luka and Austin Reeves on the court, they weren't doing much, you know, taking free throws, doing rock, paper, scissors. I did see that. Well, that might mean they're further away than Laker fans may want. Shams had an update on Kevin Durant. we'll hear from him and the expectation. Of course, that's hours ago, so things may have changed. But the latest from Shams on Kevin Durant when we get back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
We'll get to this rocket sound. We'll get to that sound here in a bit. But this came across my timeline, and it reminded me that the draft is a couple days away now. My expectation is that Nick Caserio gets us all socks like it's Christmas Day, and instead of drafting in the first round, he trades out. I asked Lance this morning if this was like his Christmas, and he's like, yeah, it's kind of like my Christmas, all this build up, all this work, and now we're getting very close, and it's like Nick Caserio goes, here,
yeah,
wool socks.
Because, something very sensible.
Because I'm not, either I'm going to pick a guy in the first round that's sensible, or I'm not even going to make a pick at all.
Yeah.
So this came across my timeline. Tony Pauline, longtime guy in the NFL draft circles, is saying that the Texans are going to target center from Florida, Jake Slaughter, in round two. This is a player that Lance doesn't have a high opinion of. He's talked about it. You can just go to his draft write-up on NFL.com. Average backup / special teamer. Normally, centers don't become special teamers because they're not long snappers. So what he's saying is, this is a guy who should not be drafted on day two.
Yeah, practice squad.
Yes.
Is basically what
he's saying. Now, Mel Kiper likes Jake Slaughter, but even he says he's a fourth rounder. Tony Pauline is saying day two, which is that the Texans are targeting him day two, so that's round two or three. So even his highest opinion, at least from one of the more well known draft Knicks,
Other preeminent,
yes, beyond Lance, there's one other preeminent draft expert. It is Mel Kiper, and he has him as a day three guy. Now, first round of day three, but still day three. Yeah. If the Texans are targeting him at maybe two rounds early or maybe three or one round early, that might speak to why they have so many issues drafting young offensive linemen.
I mean, Nick Caserio has such a track record that you have to
– No.
He has the benefit of the doubt.
No,
he likes the guy.
Nope. Yeah. Ursary is his shining beacon, and he was fine.
Yeah.
Of young offensive linemen drafted, and he was fine in
year one. Yeah. He's all, don't let Nick Caserio get hot. No, I would prefer to, you know, some higher praise, I'd say, from either Mel or
Mel
Lance.
Mel is much higher than Lance.
Yes, but still not high enough for
him
what Pelini's
talking
about.
Not for him to be drafted on day two.
Did I make him Pelini?
Yeah, it's Tony Pauline.
Yeah. I made him Bo Pelini's brother. I don't know why I did that. There is
a Bo Pelini brother.
Yeah.
I forgot what his name is. He was surprisingly another hard-nosed defensive coordinator. Imagine that. But yeah, there it is. That's some of the latest that a center might be something the Texans target. And you get it. They've revamped that line. And if you talk about maybe the weakness there, it would be the center spot where Jake Andrews would be another Jake. But Jake Andrews is a guy you can find some way to improve on. Is it someone Lance thinks is a backup? Not even a good backup, an average backup. You know, if it would have been like he's a fine backup.
Yeah.
It's not one of the phrases they use to describe people, but
yeah.
I would have taken that over average backup.
Or like, yeah, backup with some promise.
Yeah,
or something.
Backup.
Like,
they have those lines where backup who could potentially develop into a starter.
Like the Arizona State tackle from Nigeria. I forgot how to pronounce his name.
Aichino or something like that?
Yeah. Like that guy where it's like, hey, he's only been playing football for 5 years, so probably not who you want to be a day one starter, but, you know, there's some upside there. Doesn't sound like Florida center. Was it Jake Slaughter?
Jake Slaughter, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, great name. That'd be cool.
But now, Lance also has him as a round four projection, but that is more like where he thinks he'll go as opposed to what he thinks of him as a player.
Yeah.
As I said, he thinks of him as a average backup or special teamer. So, good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with socks on night one if, you know, we're getting, you know, Ninja Turtles on game two. can we get a Wii or something?
It doesn't look like that.
come on. Give me trade out whatever, trade with the Cardinals because they want Ty Simpson at 28 whoever. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let's get Jadarian Price in here. Let's get, I mean, at least for me, Anthony Hill or, you know, take a Jacob Rodriguez in round 2 or 3. Like, come on, let's have some fun. Let's get a guy who's, you know, someone could conceivably buy their jersey.
Nah, grandma got you a shirt that doesn't fit. Grandma got
this
shirt.
Is it at least one that's...
You never wear this shirt.
All the preeminent fashion experts love?
No. Oh. No, it's a shirt that...
Did she overpay for it?
I don't know how much grandma paid for it. I just know you're going to be expected to wear it, and it doesn't fit who you are.
All right.
That's all.
That's cool.
That's all. So if they do draft
Jake Smyer... I'll smile and say thanks.
Well, the question is, will Woody Marks and David Montgomery smile if this pick is someone that's blocking for them?
Yeah. Jake Andrews like, all right, come on, guys.
I mean,
I know I'm not whatever. I'm not Jeff Saturday here, but.
Yeah. What we don't want to see, if this comes to fruition, and who knows, maybe Mel Kiper is right that he is well worth a 4th-round pick and he will be good. If he's a good player, it doesn't really matter where you draft him.
Yeah.
If he turns out to be good. I don't want the first days of training camp to go, man, Slaughter looks outmatched. Yeah. I don't need that coming from the people who are going to be out there. Like,
it's also, if it was a corner, if it was a safety, if it was a defensive end, I'd be like, hey, Casario knows something Mel and LZ don't. You know, check the stats on Bullock and on Lassiter and all these guys. And
yeah, if Jake Slaughter was a DB, like, you know what?
Sure.
Casario, have at it. Don't care where you take him.
But center? Anything on the offensive line?
So
I need to come highly, you know, highly whatever acclaimed. I need some backup on like some 5 stars.
Just reading the strengths and weaknesses, you know.
Lance had to hold his nose and write some strength.
I don't know if that's how it went, but there's an equal distribution of strengths and weaknesses. So
it's not 2 bullet points versus 7.
No, it's not like, no, it's not that. It's not overwhelming in the negative category, but he doesn't really move people, which is not what you want to hear.
No.
But he has good feet because we know Lance likes feet, and he's got good eyes. So he can see things, he can make adjustments, but he doesn't really move people. But who's to say if Tony Pauline is right? But Lance has heard this too, that the Texans like Jake Slaughter. So here we are. So that's some scuttlebutt for the draft as we get ever closer. Hopefully we'll have a pick to talk about on Friday. But knowing who we know is in charge, get ready to hear about the value they got out of making a trade out of the first round.
At least we don't have a draft show on Thursday. At least we've learned our lesson. Now.
Yeah, let's not depend on Casario to give us something to discuss.
Make program decisions
around what he might do. And this is a draft where 6 teams have first round picks. Is it likely the Texans make it 7 because they trade away their first round pick to the Cardinals? Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if I were to like
6 teams draw have 2 1 first up, round picks. Yeah,
yeah. If I were to draw one up like that, they did last year with a team wanting to trade back in. So it'd be interesting. I don't think Arizona's going to pick Simpson at 3. But who knows? Maybe they don't pick Simpson in the first round at all. Maybe they hate him. I don't know. But, I think more likely than not. If you know, gun to my head, and this was the question you want to ask me with a gun to my head.
It's an odd one for me.
What happens? Who, you know, do they pick someone or trade out? I'd say trade out.
The gun to my head thing is interesting because what world
it amps the stakes.
Yeah, it certainly does. But in what world is this stupid answer to this question enough for you to hold a gun to my head?
Yeah. Gun to my kneecap.
Yeah.
Step down.
Yeah. You know, maybe shoot me in the foot or something. I mean, that's the level of this question. Will the Texans trade out of the first round? You can shoot me in the foot if I'm wrong.
Pour water on my head or something. It's like not even bodily harm.
A wet willy is enough. You want to do that? You want to give me a Dutch oven? That's fine.
Put me in the little dunk tape tank at the county fair.
If I get it wrong, I get dunked. I'm not sure why we have to go to real bodily harm here. All right, we'll go to break with that. We'll hear the rocket sound when we come back. Well, at least Shams on KD. Is he going to play? What's his status? What do we expect tonight? We'll get to that when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, last segment of the show. We'll get to this rocket sound, but of course you can get in and join us as well. 713-780-3776 is the number. I want to remind you that the occasional invitational is April 29th. So we're about a week away from that at Sterling Country Club. Food's going to be provided by Brownback Deli. That'll be lunch. Valencia's will provide dinner. Coors Lights will be there as well. So John will be happy. He'll be at the event. Maybe he'll play with you. Lance will pick up the clubs as well. So we're going to be out there for the occasional invitational, all benefiting kids meals. So go to ESPN975.com to sign up. If you got three people you want to play with and can play with on April 29th, do that. Sign-ups end on the 28th. So you got about a week before sign-ups are over. So join us out there for that. And also, of course, or maybe not, of course, if you don't know, from 12 to 6, they're going to be out at Nick's Place. While we aren't going to do a specific draft show, we're out there for the draft and just to hang out with Nick. We love Nick. Are you going to be out there, Sean?
No, I'll be here with you 10 to noon, and then we're recording all the podcasts afterwards. So it'll be DJ and I believe Big Sarge at Nick's Place with Brian and then AJ here.
Got it. And then Jeremy and Joe.
And then Jeremy and Joe take over.
Okay, so full day out at Nick's. Go out there, hang out, and get ready for the draft. Yeah,
that's the way to do a draft show.
Yeah.
Hang out with Nick.
Get some food, some drinks.
Wall of TVs.
All of that. All of that's there for you. So there'll be, of course, sports during the day and then the draft at night.
Our Champions League? Is that happening?
Well, is that semifinal? Well, that's a Thursday. I don't think Champions League. I think it's Tuesday and Wednesday for Champions League.
That's true.
Maybe there's a Europe. Nah. Maybe there's a La Liga game on. I'm sure. Look, there's a wall of TVs. There'll be something
there's
on the
something
wall.
There'll
be live sports on. Yeah. Yes. And certainly he has a soccer package, too. So you can watch that as you get ready for the NFL draft with Nick at Nick's Place. Okay, let's get to this. This is now hours old, so there certainly could be an update on this. But the latest from Shams was yesterday. They asked him about Kevin Durant's status. Here's what he had to say.
Look, Kevin Durant's status for Game 2 is up in the air. And my understanding is Kevin Durant is dealing with a deep bruise in his right patellar tendon that he suffered last Wednesday during a practice drill when he was chasing after a loose ball and collided that knee with a teammate. And that has since caused swelling, pain. It's impacted his range of motion in the leg as well. And for Kevin Durant to miss a playoff game, that speaks to the severity of the injury in and of itself. And the Rockets, they're optimistic that Kevin Durant is going to be able to return as soon as game 2, but it remains to be seen, just depending on how that knee, that leg responds to this deep bruise in the patellar tendon.
I've talked about this, and it's a pet peeve. Maybe I'm the only one who has, but I've never understood. You've got Shams out there or up there giving a report. Now, if you want to play the ambient sound of the game in the background, the highlights of Kevin Durant, but why the music? Why is the music necessary? Are we at a point where he can't just go for a minute before our attention starts to wane?
Is that what it is? I do think it's an indictment.
Is there something where we need a little reminder that he's talking so we lock back in? The random music that pops up under reports has always been something why? Why is that necessary?
I mean, the B-roll is kind of that, too. It's a little bit.
It's part of that,
for
too.
For the TV audience, so it's just like, hey, jingling keys. Hey, I know watching a guy look at the camera and talk for 30 seconds is a bit much. Some basketball.
You get Shams in one window and then the basketball in the other. But you also have that music to lead into the highlights.
The music is a good point.
Yeah, I've never understood.
I don't know what we're doing.
But they do it all the time. I do want to We'll add to the Knicks Place thing that you're going to have a chance to win something, so more reason to show up. They're going to be giving away the Pro Football Preseason Tailgate Party Pack. All you have to do is join us at Nick's Place and register to win, and you'll get 9 tickets to a preseason game, a parking pass, and 9 pizzas from Nick to take to your tailgate party.
Wow.
Got to be there Thursday for your chance to win. So more incentive.
There we go.
Food, tickets, and, of course, all – well, at least not – well, not all, but some of the ESPN 97.5 personalities will be out there as well.
Take you and 8 of your friends to watch Jake Slaughter. Tailgate to watch Jake Slaughter.
That's not a great sell. I would use something else. Yeah, I mean, us – you know, I don't know if we need an air check, but we can, like, cut it here.
Yeah, no, cut it before I start talking.
Cut it here, and then we go, huh. Like, who would you actually see in that preseason game? Because the Texans are one of those teams who value the practice against the team the week of, as opposed to actually putting their starters out on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is mostly for the tailgate, I'd say.
It's there for the tailgate and for the free pizzas.
And maybe you get some Jadarian Price. I'm already putting him on the team.
He's not here yet.
Maybe he gets some Jadarian Price.
Depending on how he shows out in practice, he may not play either.
Yeah, he might be too good.
What's the you may get a lot of Jawar Jordan.
Hey, he had a 100-yard game.
That's not going to get it done,
last
Sean.
Year.
Hey, remember when he played pretty well in that one game? Don't you want to see him in a meaningless game?
He'll be the fourth running back, but hey.
Very possible. So, as Sean said, it's about the food and the tailgating. And then there's also a football game going on as well. In fact, it says preseason game. There's no guarantee it's a Texans game.
True. No guarantee.
There's no mention of a Texans game, just a preseason game. You don't know what game you're going to.
Yeah.
Isn't that part of the fun?
That's why they didn't say a team name, because it could have been a different team.
Didn't even say preseason NFL game. You never know. That's part of the fun. You go to the Knicks. You sign up for your pizzas your 9
Real
tickets.
Madrid? Is Real Madrid coming to play a tune-up game or something?
It is their time. It is that time of the year where they show up in this country for their tours.
Yeah,
perhaps you get to see Vinny and Mbappe. I can't promise that.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Just watch them.
More likely you see Vinny
Jawar Jordan. More likely you see Jake Slaughter than Vinny in person. But you never know. In fact, watch Vinny on TV in the World Cup. That's your best
shot. You'll get your fill.
Yeah, that's your best shot as far as seeing Vinny this summer.
Rockets with Kevin Durant.
Yes.
I don't like the words patella tendon.
We got into the jokes about the tailgate, but the other thing I thought of was, is this a bone bruise like the Astros bone bruise?
Yeah.
Because that turned into a broken bone. So I'm hoping, because it's Shams and not the Astros, that it actually just is a bruise. But, yeah, you heard patellar. And that's concerning.
He's at least, you know, out there. Like, he warmed up.
He's moving around, yeah. But how does he respond to moving around? Will it always be something that bothers him even over the course of the series?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like something he would play on if not for the game.
No.
And its importance.
Yeah. I mean, we also heard that it's from, did he say Wednesday? Yeah, he said it was from a Wednesday practice. So we're closing in on a week.
About a week. And he's
still playing.
And he's questionable to play. So.
Yeah.
This is where we stand. Kevin Durant, now we know the severity and where the injury actually is. We hope the bone bruise is something that he can recover from enough to play, because the Rockets, at least what they showed on Saturday in game one, they need him. Need him quite a bit to beat this Lakers team who's missing a couple of their stars. So hopefully we get that news that he's available. Then we'll see how it goes. All right. We're done for the day. We'll certainly talk game two tomorrow. Hopefully Ryan Weiss can back up Eric Gaddy's performance from yesterday and get the Astros back to winning games. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
The law and other people suggest not.
Would nobody want me to do this, is it?
Still, no. I'm sure Harrison Smith is like, I told you about that guy. We're done. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.